so kind.
Thank you, Jesus.
You are so good.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Bless
you.
Thank you. Bless you. Bless you.
For your name, Jesus.
Bless the Lord.
Thank you for the greatest gift, the Lord of salvation.
Give him
Jesus.
Praise. Give
thank
him glory.
You, Jesus. Thank
in
you.
His house. Oh, we give you praise.
There's no way to measure what you're Cross of Christ again.
'Tis at the
God.
He is God. He is love. Sings my song. He is Lord. And He lives. Yes, He lives. I'm heavy every sound when praise, for our Savior God He reigns. He is high and lifted up. Arise, arise, for the King of glory waits. He is coming back again.
Tomorrow, God willing, is when Hallelujah. Everyone knows that He lives.
Amen.
He's on Saturday. He was, where was he? He was. He had the keys of death and hell.
Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Now, just a couple more songs. We want to tell God that we know that we are in His presence. Let it rain. We're in Your presence. Let it rain, 'cause You're in, pour Your rain. Let it fall on me. We're in Your presence. Let it rain, 'cause Your rain. Let it fall
again.
We are Your presence.
We're in Your presence.
Tell Him,
let it rain. Pour Your rain. Let it fall on me. We're in Your presence. Let it rain.
Open it, Lord.
Open the floodgate in abundance, and cause Your rain to fall on me. Open the floodgate in abundance, and cause Your rain.
Celebrating the victory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ over death and the grave, over sin. Thank You, O God, for victory in on the cross. Thank you, O God, for dying on the cross, Lord Jesus, for our sins. For your word says that greater love than this hath no man, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. For God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. Father God, we thank you that we're not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world. Father God, speak to us. We pray for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us in this place, to make a difference in our lives and make a difference in your word. May it not be of myself or of the letter, but of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. For may my preaching not be with excellency of speech of man's wisdom, but may it be in the demonstration of the Holy Ghost and of power, so that our faith will not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. And the saints said, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We may take our seats in the presence of the Lord. Amen. This is our second day of our Easter convention. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Our Easter
Amen.
Time services.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Are we blessed?
Yes.
Were we blessed yesterday? Did we learn about why Christ needed to come and die?
Yes.
Because Jesus said we must give a reason for why we believe what we believe. Of course, in this point, when I say Jesus said, he said through the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. In the epistles. Hallelujah. When you see red in the Bible, what does it mean? Good. Hallelujah. Let's clap for ourselves. Amen.
Amen.
So, yesterday we learned that Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God, and that the who takes away the sins of the world. And the sins in the Old Testament were covered.
That's right.
So that God could relate with the people, David and the others, and the sins were forgiven. But in the new covenant, the sins were not covered, but removed, taken away, and we are also forgiven.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And Jesus Christ died once and for all, the just for the unjust, that we might be saved. And we talked about, we didn't go into details, but the ark of the tabernacle of the congregation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Which the temple was a representation of the tabernacle of the congregation. Hallelujah. And the curtain that separated the holy place from the most holy place, or the Holy of Holies, was torn in two. If it was from the bottom, man did it. But from the top, it was only God who could do it. As soon as Jesus died, it was torn. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, which temple was that? Which temple was which temple did God split the curtains from top to bottom? What was the name of that temple? Yeah, someone said it. I heard Solomon's temple. Very good. But I thought Solomon's temple was destroyed. Was it destroyed after Solomon built it? Who destroyed Solomon's temple after he rebuilt it? Nebuchadnezzar. Very good. And who rebuilt it? I said it last year, so I'm expecting that someone will remember. Last year, Easter. Who rebuilt the temple? Yes. Herod the Great. Herod the Great rebuilt the temple. And when was the temple destroyed again? Because it's right now we don't have a temple. It's been destroyed. When was it destroyed? AD 70. Who? destroyed it? The Romans. Namely, Titus Vespasian. Hallelujah. Titus became an emperor, but he was a general at that time. And Vespasian was, hallelujah, was the emperor. And Titus also became the emperor of Rome. Hallelujah. And Jesus prophesied that, you see how this temple is so beautiful, you are all in awe. A time will come that not one stone will be left on top of the other. Hallelujah. And there was a lot of revolts, riots. So they marched. The Romans marched into Jerusalem, burnt down the temple, and burnt it to the ground, and not a single stone. Meaning that not a stone, you are building, you have built the stones. Not a stone was left on top of the other. Meaning that you cannot have two stones on top of each other, or a stone and another stone. Everything was, it was flattened. And it that's history. So it shows how accurate the Bible is.
That's right.
The prophecies of the Bible are very, very accurate.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Today we are going to talk about some steps to Easter victories.
Hallelujah.
Some steps to Easter victories. Anytime someone is promoted in life, it is wise to study what caused their promotion, because people are not promoted by accident. Jesus was not exalted and promoted by chance. What do you think? He was not exalted with the highest name because he was his father's son. He got there through certain steps. Hallelujah. Understand the process that gets you to the place of your greatest desire. It's important to understand, because we don't get to the place of our greatest desire by chance. There are steps. Am I preaching to somebody? Others went through a process to get there, and we must also follow their steps. Hebrews 6:12. And be not slothful or lazy means that it takes hard work to follow people who have done well.
That's right.
Laziness will not help you. That ye be not lazy or slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises.
Amen.
Amen. So it means that to follow the promises, you and I must be hardworking. Because to follow people who did well, we must work hard, because they didn't do it easily. What do you think?
That's right.
It didn't come easy. Daniel, it didn't come easy for Daniel. How many have been in the den of lions? Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. How many have been in the fiery furnace? Abraham. How many want to be Abraham where God says, I'll give you a child, and you have to wait for so long to get the child? Do you want, how many want that? The last time someone was even close to it, she said God has disappointed her, until God gave her three. Hallelujah. So how many are prepared to do that? That's what I'm saying, that it takes hard work. How many are prepared to follow what Abraham did, go through that, and then the opportunity to sacrifice your Isaac? How many want to be told that give up the thing you love the most, the thing you've waited for? God has told you that, look, I'm going to give you this blessing. God has given you the blessing, and then God says that, look, the blessing I've given to you, I want you to do away with it. I want you to let it go. Let go of that blessing. The blessing I have given to you, I've given it to you. Everybody has acknowledged that I gave it to you. Now, let go of it. How many have had to make that decision? So when the Bible says, be not slothful, but imitators of those, or followers of those who through faith and patience inherit the promise, you realize that faith was connected, patience was connected. Abraham needed patience to wait for the promise, and faith also. What about David? David was anointed king over Israel. Nevertheless, He had to run and hide in caves like a squirrel. Hiding in caves. Hiding. David. Now, what caused David, like a fox, to be hiding in holes and caves? Meanwhile, he was prophesied to be king over Israel. He was actually anointed king over Israel. Nevertheless, he had to be running around for so many years. What, are we ready to do those things? Are we ready? What made Daniel the greatest apart from the emperor? What about Joseph, who became prime minister of Egypt? You know that the archaeologists have found some remains of a person who was not Egyptian but had Israeli features, who was like a very high official in Egypt. They found it. Inscription, they were able to find it. Archaeology has proved the Bible throughout. The things that have not been proven, we are not smart enough, and our intelligence in humans are not smart enough to know or find it. Why plants came before the sun, all those things, we are not smart enough as human beings to know why. So the things that archaeology and science have not proved, they have not proved because science is limited. In the past, before Einstein's theory of relativity, science was not strong enough to prove that the world was round and prove many things in astrology. So when we look at them today, when we look at them as if they didn't know much. Now, in 100 years' time or in 50 years' time, if Christ doesn't come, they'll look at us today and look as if we don't know much.
That's right.
So science not proving it doesn't mean anything. So when I see the so-called contradictions, which are not really contradictions in the Bible, because of science, or it just means that science is too limited. If science was not limited, let them be able to find cures for even brain tumors. Or stop hurricanes or tornadoes or the floods that came to Texas. Let them use the technology and the science to stop it. Just that simple thing for nature. If they're able to do it, then they can talk more about what science can do. I don't know if you are getting me. That's how you and I must think. You see? Because the Bible is the Bible. So you and I must follow them to inherit the promises. At least I'm trying to follow. What do you think?
That's right.
It's very important to follow and be imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And the promises are sure. Look at Joseph. How many are prepared to go through what Joseph went through? Okay, I'm going to obey God. I'm going to be my father's boy. Now, the Bible talks about the fact that we must honor our parents. So if Joseph was the father's golden boy, it wasn't a sin. But that led him to be sold. Okay, no problem. Great disservice. Okay. Now he goes to Potiphar's house, and he finds favor at Potiphar's house and becomes the leader of the slaves. Now a woman comes, Potiphar's wife comes, and wants to sleep with him. Now he does another check. David didn't follow that. David went in, actually took a wife. But Potiphar's wife was also a wife, and she pushed on him. And he refused it. And after refusing it, he got a check. But that check led him into jail, the deep jail, and became a prisoner in the jail. So from someone who was a slave and leader of the slaves, he now became a prisoner. How many are prepared? And then stayed there for a long time. How many have gone through that or are prepared? So when the Bible is saying that imitators of those who through faith, so Joseph needed faith and needed patience because he knew that God will come through eventually. I don't know what I'm preaching. That's why we cannot be, that's why actually we need to be hardworking. Laziness will not help us to achieve the promises. If you and I are going to follow and imitate the heroes of faith who got where we want to get to, laziness will not take us there. Because, for example, sleep. Sleep. Common sleep will not take you there. If you are someone who sleeps a lot, you will not inherit the promises. Why am I saying that? Because the heroes of faith didn't sleep. Daniel could not be sleeping. Because Daniel was someone who was very hardworking.
That's right.
to be second in command, very hardworking. David couldn't sleep because most of his time was spent running and hiding in caves. Abraham could not sleep. So I don't know if you are getting what I'm saying. So now it's very important for us to know that. Anyway, it's a very important thing. What do you think?
Yes.
If you see someone who is truly blessed, find out how they got there. We must aim to do better than our leaders, but not have the aim to replace them. I aim to do better than my leaders.
Amen.
Because the Bible is saying that. Hallelujah. But not to replace them. No matter how the leader is, they are still your leader.
Yes.
If someone who I've trained, maybe some of the pastors who I've encouraged to go into the magnifying their ministry, starts to do 10 times what God is using myself to do, we thank God. It doesn't change the fact that I'm their pastor.
That's right. That's right.
Jesus said, the works that I do, you will do in greater works because I go unto my Father. Yeah. So does that mean that Benny Hinn, Bishop who has had all these crusades, the saving all these souls and the miracles, because Jesus, 3.5 years, the miracles we know in the Bible. So does that mean that Bishop has done more than Jesus? No. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. So we must aim to do better, but not to replace. I expect my children, I expect it, and I'll be disappointed if they don't do better than me in every way.
That's right.
But they can't replace me. I'll still there for like, I say, shut up, sit down. And they'll have to do that. You'll have to do that. Even though they are doing better. Yeah, I remember my father, there was a time I was sitting down with him outside. Outside the house, there was a nice time. We're sitting down and he started shouting. This was a few years ago. He blasted me as I was sitting down. I couldn't say, no, why are you doing it? He blasted me properly. I was like, I was just, yeah. He has the right to do that. He's my father.
That's right.
My mother, she should be able to say what she wants to say to me.
That's right.
And it shouldn't be someone is helping their parent and the parent is afraid to blast you. I'm sorry for you. Because they are afraid that you would withhold funds. Poor you. That's what I can say. Poor you.
That's right.
Sorry. Unfortunate for you, because your blessing is in honoring them, not because they have done well for you. So if your parent is correcting you and telling you that you are wrong, shouting at you are a foolish person, whatever you are helping them with, continue to help them with that, because that should not negate. They should be free.
That's right.
They should be free to tell you what they feel. You don't need to let them control your life. Especially if you are married, then it's with a husband and wife. Nevertheless, they can say, shut up and listen.
That's right.
What do you think? Yeah. And I'll exercise that authority for my kids. Whether they are 80, I'll be able to say it. Keep quiet and listen. No! Keep quiet! I'll make sure I have that right. Hallelujah. Yeah. By the grace of God, I still have that. And by the grace of God, it's only by the grace of God I'll continue to have that.
Amen.
Hallelujah. If you even have to hold them, not be rude, but hold them and just shake them and say, listen, listen.
Hallelujah.
Yes. No physical abuse. No. If you are holding someone, listen. What do you think?
That's it.
Yeah. So we must aim to do better. Now, what are the steps that Jesus went through, or some of the steps that led to his promotion and receiving the greatest name? Philippians chapter 2. Let's start from verse 1 to 11. Are the windows open? Okay. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 to 11. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. You see, let's go back to verse 2. When you're having a quiet time or you're reading the Bible, and you read this verse, and it looks like you can't figure it out, no problem. We'll go into microscopic Bible study later on. But you take it one by one. Fulfill ye my joy. Take that part. Don't rush. After that, that ye be like-minded means that be like-minded. Having the same love. What love does Apostle Paul have that he's telling us? Or Jesus have that same love. Being of one accord. Of one mind. When you take it one by one, you realize that you understand it. When you try to read it in totality, that's where you can be thrown off. What do you think?
That's right.
Okay, verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Do we do that? Do I do that? I will try, and let's try, to esteem others better than ourselves. So I should be able to esteem Jennifer better than me, because the Bible says so. What do you think? Next verse. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. You must consider others. Let this mind be in you. Meaning that God is telling you and I that there's a certain mind he wants us to have. He's about to explain it. That mind was also in Jesus Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Meaning that Jesus Christ, who being God, did not think that equality with God was a thing for him to grasp onto or to hold onto. He is God. He didn't want to now hold on to, I'm God, I'm God. He didn't think that he being God was a thing he needed to grasp onto. The fact that he is equal with God, he didn't think that he needed to grasp onto it when he came to the earth. What do you think? But made himself of no reputation. God became of no reputation. So it means that you and I, one of the things that trouble us is our reputation.
That's right.
I've seen myself. I think it affects people. But you see how people, when I say, or we as people, how you want everyone to have a good impression of you. So anytime there's a slight change in that, it disturbs you. There are some people who can't sleep. Sleepless nights because of that. It's a melancholic trait. Sleepless nights. But Jesus, who is God, made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. So he took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. That was the lowest. Apart from animals, we are not talking. He couldn't come as a dog. Hallelujah. So he had to come as a person, but that was the lowest. Because man is limited. Do you see Jesus with his glorified body walking through the world? When he came to see the disciples in the room, he came through the walls because the door was shut and he came. Jesus, he didn't use wings or helicopter when he was ascending into heaven. He just said, Lord, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. And he just went up. But when he was... Before his death and resurrection, he was tired. He gets tired. Angels don't get tired.
That's right.
Angels don't get tired. Demons get tired, but angels don't. He's tired. He was weary. As he was going through Samaria, he was hungry and tired. So it was a lower version. Because God cannot be tired.
Yes,
if angels cannot be tired, how much more the one who created them? Verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Now, Jesus had to humble himself. The Bible says that Jesus learned obedience through his suffering. Jesus had to learn how to obey. And Jesus had to learn how to be humble. Because how can God be humble? God is not proud, but God is not humble. He had to humble himself. He had to make the conscious effort to humble himself and to obey. Who is God going to obey? Who? When the Bible says that he has no counselor, who is he going to obey? And became obedient unto death. And you see, he also had to subject himself and depend upon the Holy Spirit when he was on earth. And had to now subject himself. Even so, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Because God said, you have to die. So he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So there are types of deaths. He could have just been murdered or had an accident. But he had to choose a type of death, which is the worst kind of death to have. Electric chair, lethal injection. Lethal injection is very, very quiet. You shake, convulsion, and then you go. Very short. But crucifixion, slow, painful, agonizing death. Wherefore? So because of that, God also hath highly exalted him. Because of what we just talked about. Humbling himself, becoming obedient, all those things. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him. And given him a name which is above every name. Now this is very important. Meaning that Jesus' name is above every name. So before we even move to the next, it means that if you have a situation that doesn't have a name, what do you need to do to make sure that Jesus' name is above it? Give it a name. When you give it a name, then it's subject to Jesus' name. And you can give anything a name.
That's right.
Hurricane appears, they say Andrew. They give it Andrew. Hurricane Andrew.
That's right.
Hurricane, what?
Irma.
You give it a name.
Yeah.
That's all. Just give it a name. Okay, now the next one. Now this one goes beyond. That at the name of Jesus, every knee. Now it even goes beyond a name. Even if he doesn't have a name, at the name of Jesus, wants it to bow. Whether it has a name or not, it will bow. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth.
Wow.
And every tongue should confess. Satan will confess. Amen. Well, Satan, I can't say he will confess only because he's confessed before he fell.
Yeah.
He was confessing that Jesus is Lord before he fell. Every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. What do you think?
Wonderful.
Now, some things that you and I must do. The first will be found in Malachi chapter 4. Ah. This place is baking like an oven. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven or oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the sun, S-U-N, not S-O-N, S-U-N, of righteousness arise.
Amen.
With healing in his wings.
Amen.
And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The first thing you and I must realize that Jesus Christ is the Lord that healeth us.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We will go more into details later on. Hallelujah. But that's the first thing to know. We will talk more about that later on. Number two. Let's go to John chapter 12, verse 27. What do you think?
Wonderful.
Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. So you would realize that Jesus was tempted to fear. The second thing is, Jesus overcame fear in the Garden of Gethsemane. And you and I must overcome fear. Amen. Because fear is one of the worst things that can try to affect you and I as Christians. Hallelujah. Fear is actually an evil spirit. Amen. Romans 8:15. Fear prevents us from doing what leads us to victory. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. So it means that fear is a spirit that binds you. How many can have ever experienced that? That you are so scared that you can't even move. Paralyzing fear. You can't do anything. You can't move. You are stuck. And it feels like something has come over you. Yes. It is the spirit of bondage again to fear. But you and I have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Amen. Abba in Aramaic, Father in English. It's the same. Actually, the word means we cry, Father, Father. Because Abba means Father. Well, I believe we all know that. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Very good. So it means that fear is a spirit of bondage. And you and I must do everything it takes to overcome fear.
Amen.
If an evil spirit is leading you and I, where will it take us? God said, I have plans of good and not of evil. To bring you to an expected end. So we know that as for God, when he's leading you and I, he's leading us to an expected end.
Amen.
The Bible also says in John 10:10 that the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that he might have life and that he might have life more abundantly. If Jesus is leading you and I, he's leading us to life.
Right.
He's leading us to a good end.
Amen.
When the devil is leading you and I, he's leading you to steal, to kill, and to destroy us. So anytime you and I are controlled by fear, it means we are controlled by an evil spirit. And that evil spirit is only going to steal from us. Steal what? Steal our health. Steal our joy. Steal everything good in our lives. Kill us. And to destroy us. Nobody wants that. Hallelujah. Nobody wants that. Let's continue in Romans. Yeah, very good. So, you and I, we must accept the fact that any time we are afraid, we are in bondage.
That's right.
Who wants to be in bondage? In bondage means you are bound by the devil. And the devil controls us through fear. Do you know how? He can tell you, no, don't go there. If you go there, something bad will happen. He's controlling you.
Right.
Meanwhile, when you go there, that's where your victory is. Fear will say that, no, don't talk to this person. If you talk to this person, they might be upset with you. Maybe talking to the person will lead you to your victory.
That's right.
But you didn't talk to the person. I don't know if I'm speaking to somebody.
Preaching.
I remember Bishop talks about when he was invited to have a crusade in South America. I have the video. Wow.
Right.
That video. This was after the lady was raised, the child was raised from the dead, I think the next day. The devil told Bishop that, hey, but didn't you know that some people were killed in South America, Colombia? You are going there. Oh, okay. Just when he's meditating upon it, a priest is shot giving communion. Shot. Pow! Shot. Fell down. Dead. Colombia. So he said he's not going any longer. And then he was in the plane. As he was in the plane, I think God encouraged him through an angel or whatever. But God said, oh, you go. Okay, thank you. Also, now, anyone who is accustomed to God ever telling you that, hey, you are not going. Okay, I've heard. Don't be in that place. Yeah, don't be in that place where God will say that, oh, you go. I've heard. It's enough. Thank you. Thank you. So Bishop said he's going. When he went there, so you can tell that fear, anytime there's fear, there's a black mist right in front of fear. But right behind the black mist is your victory. So the fear clouds your judgment and clouds your sight to see the victory. So fear is like a black stain, black mist, black smoke. So it covers your eyes and you are not able to see in front. When Bishop went, that's where he saw the dead raised. A dead child was raised, woke up in the crusade. And then I got the video of the next day. The next day, when he's preaching, he has not even done altar call, and people are getting out of their wheelchairs. Wow. Whilst he's preaching, and he preached on Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. As he's preaching, people are getting out of their wheelchairs, and people are shouting whilst he's preaching. He has not even said, "Let's sing, I'm the Lord that healed thee." He hasn't done that. Wow. So do you see what fear was preventing? What about you and I? What is fear preventing us from achieving? Yeah. Fear.
Wow.
Fear is so bad that Job said, "The thing I have greatly feared has come upon me." Mm. So sometimes our greatest fears, imagine it comes true. Hey! Because there are a lot of fears I have. That the devil is trying to establish, which I say, "You lie. I'm not going to allow you to establish it." I remember Bishop sent a text to me and said that, courage, what is courage? Courage is still persisting in the midst of fear. Even though you are afraid of something, you are still, or you feel afraid of something, you are still pushing through. That is courage.
Right.
Otherwise, you don't need courage. You need courage because you are tempted to fear, or you are afraid of something, and you go in spite of
that's
that.
Right.
Fear is not good. Hallelujah.
Amen.
2 Timothy 2:7.
Preach.
The thing I have greatly feared. What do you fear? What are you afraid of? There are many things I'm tempted to fear. Not one, not two, not three. Many things. And from time to time, when the devil is bringing them to your mind, then you are quiet and start reflecting. Tell the devil that you are a liar. Shut up in Jesus' name. I'm not going to allow you to. Oh, after all, what? So what? What's the worst case? Okay, let's take it that the fear happens. So what? God is with me. But the fear will not come to pass.
Amen.
It will not come to pass.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 1:7. Do not come to pass. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." I also remember one of the members in the Minneapolis area had a cousin who was killed at an Indian reservation. Killed, murdered, or supposed to be murdered at an Indian reservation. And then we're going to go far away into some forest in South Dakota. So we're going to go into it. We're going to have a crusade in a far place. Do you understand what I mean? Very far place. And that place, the problem there is meth. Methamphetamine. That was the problem there. And the roads were so narrow. So narrow. And it's far from the city. It's far from far from the city. And it's so far that they've been pushed to a corner. Very far. And as we are going, the accidents on that road we go through. I was afraid. The first time I went there, I was like, "My goodness, what are we doing here? Do we need to be here?" I was afraid. Nobody knew. It's only my preaching that the people know. But I was afraid. As we went there, we were driving, I was afraid. As I see people, see cars, I'm afraid, will they kill us? Because if they kill us... But that's where someone who was deaf, two people who were deaf, their ears were open in front of us, open. Their ears. It's in one of those Facebook. We hadn't seen any deaf people hearing until we went there. What I'm trying to say is that at least we can learn from some of these to show that sometimes when we are afraid, it can affect us. I remember we're having a crusade meeting because we're thinking of having a crusade in North Minneapolis. I don't know that it was Etta or one of the people said, no, North Minneapolis is very dangerous, so we shouldn't have the crusade there. And I was agreeing with it, and then I said that, no, this one, if we are not going to go because of fear, it's not good. Actually, we are going to go. Actually, we are afraid, we are going to go. Because God will not be happy with me if I'm not going to do something because I'm afraid. But anytime we're doing outreach, I was very, it was not a small thing. Normally, you knock on the door, I was afraid. But you have to go. That was one of the biggest ones we had. Hallelujah. So what I'm trying to say is that there's always victory when you move past your fears. Yeah. Always victory. Always victory. How many are going to fight fear? You got to fight it. Now, when fear is present, the following are absent. Sound mind is taken away. Peace of mind and joy is gone when you are afraid. Because when you are afraid, there's no peace of mind because you are afraid. I've been afraid of things. So I remember this. There's a scar here. I remember it was a bump. There was nothing to it. I mean, we could have left it. There was a bump here. And I went to see some doctor and they said it could be the bad name. They looked at the scan and said it could be something bad. I know about, now, I was so afraid that now if you ask me how cancer is formed, I can explain it. Google and WebMed and Mayo Clinic. I'm like a doctor when it comes to cancer and how the cells replicate and form. What? Because of that, sound mind had gone. Most of my time was spent on the computer and Google. Most of my time, because I couldn't have peace of mind. Sound mind was thrown out the door. And I was a torment. And hey, what if? It wasn't that I was a church member, I was a pastor, Pastor David then. If I was Brother David, we understand. I was Pastor David then. Yeah, and I was saying. I remember after hearing the news, I was driving from far, Hagerstown, very far. As I was driving, the devil told me that, look, why are you going to suffer in so much pain? Why don't you just turn the car so that it just hits somewhere and you are finished? Wow. Fear, sound mind is thrown away. And I said, oh no, I can't do that. I don't want to go to hell. No, I won't do that. Hey, sound mind, peace of mind is thrown away. And the devil, you see, and every time I have been afraid of something, and it checks out that I was afraid for nothing because there was no need to fear, every time I say to myself, oh, I'm sure the devil had a field day.
That's right.
Every time I say to myself that the devil had a good time because he tormented me. Why do we need to go through that? Power to act is taken away when we are afraid. The power to act,
that's right.
The power to proceed,
that's right.
The power to be progressive, the power to excel and the power to take action and to do things for yourself is taken away. When you're afraid, you don't even feel like doing things for yourself. You don't feel like being active to better yourself.
That's
because
right.
Power is taken away.
Right.
There are certain things that because I was afraid, I wasn't sure. There were some tests, certain things that I was waiting for. And because of that, there was something that I wanted to share with the church to bless the church. But the devil was saying to myself that, what's the point? If you go and share it, eventually you are going to find out that the thing you are trying to share, it's affected you. Why are you going to share it? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So what was the point of sharing it? But that's where power to act is taken away. You see what fear does. Some people feel that, I thought I was the only one. Love is destroyed. When there is fear, love is destroyed. Suspicion. No, this person, they don't mean well. Look, you see, I'm afraid. Then you start suspecting, it goes on. Can you imagine when a man or woman, husband or wife or beloved, you are suspecting your spouse of cheating, or your boyfriend, or your boyfriend is the world, so your beloved of cheating.
That's right.
Hmm. Take that. Okay.
Who was that?
Who was that? What's her name? What? Oh, or what's his name? What? Come on. Love is for. Because love, when you read the definition of love, love does not keep a record of wrongs, and love does not suspect. Love does not think evil. Thinketh no evil. So you see that love is thrown into the toilet. That's what the devil wants to do to us. That's why love is bondage. So you can tell that, that's why fear is bondage. So you can tell that fear now to act, you can't. There were times that there were certain things I was supposed to do. But because I was afraid, I said, no, I'll wait. Or is it just me who's...
No.
There were times that the devil said, you'll die. I tell you, it's not a joke. But you see, you just tell the devil that I'll live to declare the works of the Lord.
Amen.
I'll live.
Amen.
I said I was not Brother David when I was afraid about that thing. At that time, my daughter was born, latterly.
Wow.
Latterly. And I was saying, wow, I'm not going to see her marry. I'm not going to walk her down the aisle. And then the doctor assured me that there's no worry. Don't worry at all anymore. Then, you see, now I know when there's a growth or a lesion or a tumor, I know when it could be cancerous and when it could be benign based on the smoothness. I learned it when I was being told. Because they were trying to convince me that it's okay. My mind... The doctor said, don't worry. It's okay. My mind, unless the thing comes... So I remember it through this thing. But by God's grace, it was nothing. It was just some blood vessels, collection of blood vessels.
Hey!
Yeah. That's when I learned. I said, look, WebMed, Mayo Clinic. I understand because cells are dying every day. Every time cells are dying. And cells, when they die, the immune system kills the cells. I can tell you, I can give you the immune system, how it affects it, the replication of cells, and then the damaged cell replicates, and that causes cancer. I can talk about the bone marrow. Where is your immunity? Your immune system, your immune system is made up of your white blood cells. red blood cells, white blood cells. Red blood cells carry the oxygen, white blood cells. Now, the white blood cells, now, there are lymphocytes and then there are neutrophils and then certain types. Some fight bacteria, some fight viruses, and they help your fight against cancer too. Now, your bone marrow is where most of the immunity is, the white blood cells come from. And then your spleen, and then your gut, hallelujah, and then your lymph nodes a bit. Ah. All because of fear. but at least I learned something. At least I learned something. I became a biology major. I learned something. Hey, I learned something. So now, because of all my, of course, it wasn't just because of that, but because of that, I sometimes can, when someone gives me a problem or says that my head here is hurting, my leg, I can say, I think it's this. Go to a doctor and check. And a lot of times, it's the same. It's accurate. Fear is not good. Yeah. I unofficially diagnose. Yeah. Oh, man. It's not easy. How many see how bad fear is? Now, what are some of the common fears? The fears of men and women are different, right. Even though fears... Wow, is it 9? Okay, I'm sure we'll continue this. We won't be able to finish this. But men and women have different fears.
That's right.
Hallelujah. And some are the same. As for, hey, will I live long? That one, man, woman, whoever, whatever gender, the devil brings that to everybody or everybody. But there are several or some common fears that affect both men and women. Well, this one is especially for women. I will not get married.
Right.
Look, there are some people who make foolish decisions, women, because they are afraid they are not going to get married.
That's right.
And they choose the wrong guys.
Yes.
I tell you. And sometimes when I see such a thing and I talk, I talk, please don't. The fear is too strong. It falls on deaf ears. The fear is, when the fear is strong, sometimes I'll forbid. I'll say, I forbid you. I've not had the time to forbid anyone here yet. Oh, I'm telling you, I tell the person, I forbid you. I forbid you. Don't talk to this person. I forbid you. Hey, but the fear is strong. Yeah. Fear of getting divorced. It's also one. Hey, it's a fear. I will get divorced. Hey. Or especially for women. Or my husband will like another woman more. Or my wife will like another man more. Hey, it's wild though. Women know what am I talking about. And some men. Fear of losing your job. Fear of not doing well in life. Fear of dying. As for that one. You see, but as for the dying, you see, we will live long.
Amen.
We are all going to live long. I've been confessing it, and I'll continue to confess it, that initially, I moved it to Kenneth Hagin's 87, but now I realized that, look, why? I've now moved it to 90. I think I was talking to Latili. What was it? I think it's 100. I think, I can't remember, 90 or 100. When she comes, she will remind us of it. Yeah. I remember watching Kenneth Hagin when he was younger. He was shouting. He was saying, he was in his 40s, maybe. I'll live past 50. I'll live past 60. He was shaking. I'm doing exactly what he was doing. I'll live past 70. I'll live past 80. And then he stopped there. He died 87.
Wow.
Yeah. So he believed it. Now you and I must believe it. That we are going to live. Let's do it. I'll live past 50. I'll live past 60. I'll live past 70. I'll live past 80. I'll live past 90. I'll live past 100. At least for me, you can continue if you want to. 100 is okay. But one thing I know, by God's grace, I will not be held or bathed, God forbid. At age 90, I should be able to walk, get my food, jog, eat what I want. I should be able to bath myself at age 90. In Jesus' name. My eyes will not be dim. I won't need a nursing home or people to watch over me, look after me. No. My daughter is all daughters who will have that nice thing. My daughter Latele or Phoebe would come come and stay with me to look after you. No. Very strong. I'll be going on trips. I'll be preaching. I'll be preaching at age 100. My grandfather, he died. He died giving the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. Then, do we all waiting? And then, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. And they know what he says. Then his wife said, Chris. Was gone. What a good way to die. Peaceful. Only that I want to live about 30 years past when he died. Hallelujah. You too. Confess it. We got to. Because the more you confess it, the more the spirit of fear runs away. Yeah. Fear that things will go wrong. Fear of getting sick. Hallelujah. Now, you and I have been given the power over fear. Hebrews 2, 14 and 15. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. Start with verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, meaning that you and I, God's children, we are flesh and blood. He also himself likewise took part of the same. Because you and I are flesh and blood, Jesus also became flesh and blood. That's what this thing is saying. That's why when you break it down, if you don't break it down, you might be wondering what's going on. But this is saying, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, meaning that we are flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. The same what? Flesh and blood. That through death, so he became a man, so that through his death, he might destroy him, the devil, that had the power of death, that is the devil. So by his death, he destroyed the one who had the power of death. Now let's continue. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So, fear of death actually binds you, puts you in bondage. Fear of death. That's what the Bible is saying. Fear of death. What do you think?
That's right.
Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yeah.
No one is going to die prematurely here.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to die prematurely. I remember... You know how people are afraid that in their country, at least in Ghana where I come from, in their country, you can be afraid that armed robbers will come to your house, all those things. Yeah. There was one of these services that God, the word of the Lord came saying that, look, there's someone whose family members are going to be delivered from armed robbery. I think there was some prayer. I can't remember the details. Yes. His wife. And armed robbers came next door and we were about to go to the house and they ran away. God delivered. So God will always deliver people, our loved ones, deliver us from every wrong. But you and I must believe it and have faith. Amen. The devil will plant thoughts in our minds, but we must fight it.
Amen.
You and I can't control what the devil puts in our heads or plant in our heads. How many can agree with that?
That's right.
You can't plant, you can't control what the devil is going to put on your head, but you can control what is established in your head. Example, you can't control the birds from flying over your head, can you? You even if you do this, it will still come. But you can prevent them from building a nest on your head.
That's right.
Can't you?
You have to
make they can't. In the same way, you can't control the thoughts the devil puts in your mind, but you can make sure that they don't become established in your mind.
Amen.
If any of us could control the thoughts that the devil placed in our minds, then we need to find out why Jesus, the devil, was able to enter, at least place a thought in his mind, in
That's
his temptation.
Right.
He would do it to everyone on earth.
Jesus,
the devil was even able to suggest things to Jesus during his temptation. But it's not a sin or it's not a crime to have a bad thought. But when you accept the thought, when you nurse the thought and you accept the thought and you act on it and you feed on it, that is where it is a problem. That's why we have premeditated murder, different premeditation, meaning that you've thought about it, intent to act. What do you think?
That's right.
Yeah.
Good message.
Fear. It's not good. Now, let me give you one thing before we close. How many know that the devil is like, he's not the roaring lion, but he is like a roaring lion?
That's right.
And we know that the devil, he doesn't have power against us, but he has what? The devil doesn't have powers against us, but he has something that he uses against us. And it works a lot. Accusations and tricks.
That's right.
Yeah, deception, tricks, especially tricks. And accusations and deception. But when I talk about tricks, accusations are all part of the tricks.
Right.
Deception, because Ephesians 6:12 talks about the wiles or tricks or schemes or methods of the devil.
That's right.
So he's very, very good at tricks. Because if it is hand-to-hand combat, you lose. Because we are not fighting. It's Christ fighting for us.
That's right.
So if it's hand-to-hand combat, he's lost. So instead of using hand to hand, you use tricks. Which of you want me to demonstrate something with you? Latelle is not here. So imagine a point. Use your phone. Where is your phone? Use your phone to touch my back and pretend it's a gun. Tell me, be careful. Follow.
Careful.
Meanwhile, I can just hit her. But she's tricked me. Oh, keep doing it. She's tricked me. And she's told me it's a gun. And I don't know it's a gun. It's not a gun.
It's a gun. It's loaded.
Hallelujah. Let's put our hands together for her. That's what the devil does with us. He has a gun that is not loaded. Or he has a phone. And he's causing us to believe that he has a loaded gun. It's a trick. That's why the Bible says that when we put on the whole armor of God, we will be able to stand against the tricks
Hallelujah.
Of the devil.
Amen.
Of the devil.
Hallelujah.
Of the devil.
Hallelujah.
Of the devil. Or is it here? No. What does verse 11 say? The wiles of the devil. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's verse 11. Now, how many know about bees? Bee.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, there was a guy he was with his son walking, and a bee stung the man. And the son was running away from that bee. Now, do you know what was wrong with that? Thank you. A bee can only sting once. So if the bee stung the father, the son did not need to run. Because the bee, after stinging the father, will die. In the same way, Satan stung once with death, and Jesus destroyed his works of death.
That's
now
right.
The devil has no power to sting any longer.
That's right.
I thought you put your hands
That's
together
right.
for Jesus.
Amen.
So it means that And one crucial thing to note with that is that since the devil, like the bee, can only sting once, who did the devil sting for us? Jesus. So it means that the devil has no more sting to give any of us. Because Jesus took the sting for us. Glory! You didn't get that? No. Yeah. So it means that he has nothing. He's disarmed. He is what? Disarmed. Disarmed. Tomorrow, God, when we are going to continue and talk about our victory, we're going to continue. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's stand to our feet.
Hallelujah.
Oh, you can put your hands together for the Lord. Fear. No longer. Negative faith, we will not accept it. Fear is negative faith. Fear is believing in what the devil said. And we are not going to accept fear.
Yes.
Now let's pray against fear. Pray against the spirit of fear. Pray against it. Pray against the spirit of fear. Pray against the spirit of fear. Pray against the spirit of fear.
Stopping us for a promotion, fear that is stopping us.
I'm no longer a slave to fear. Pray that God deliver me from the spirit of fear. I rebuke the spirit of fear. I come against the spirit of fear. In the name of Jesus, your word says in 2 Timothy 1:7 that you have not given us the spirit of fear, but power, love, and of a sound mind. And we use our rights in the name of Jesus to overcome fear, to reject fear. To reject the spirit of fear in Jesus' name. Oh, ask the Lord to help you. Oh, yes. Jesus. We are about to sing the song, I'm no longer a slave to fear. As we keep praying. No. Fear will no longer have dominion over us. No longer. No longer. No longer. We are no longer slaves. No longer slaves to fear. No longer slaves. No longer slaves. Because we are children of God. Children of God. No longer. No longer. I am a child of God. I am no longer.
I'm no longer a slave to fear.
No longer.
I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
Sing it again. No longer.
I'm no longer a slave to fear. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
You unravel me.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with song of deliverance from my enemies till all my fears.
Take it again. You unravel me.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with. Deliverance longer a slave to fear. No longer a slave to fear. I am a child
from my mother's womb.
From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Your love has called my name.
I've been born again.
I've been born again into a family. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer a slave to fear.
As the Lord to deliver you from the spirit of fear. Deliver us from fear, O God. We pray against fear. We bind the spirit of fear in the name of Jesus. Rematoma Rashanda Rabatola Braba Kanda Rabada Rabada. We pray against fear. We bind the spirit of fear in the name of Jesus. Oh, Mashanda Rabada Rabba. Your word says perfect love cast out fear. We pray against fear. We pray that your perfect love, oh God, will cast out our fears. Will cast out our fears. Will cast out our fears in Jesus' name. Ring in the soul, Mantarita, Shanda Rabba, Kona Rabba, Santa Limente. Hey, Limente, 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 fear is broken. Fear is broken. Fear is broken. In the name of Jesus, so God, we stand and stand and stand. Fear is gone. Fear is gone. Amen. Oh, in the name of Jesus, we pray against fear. We bind the spirit of fear in Jesus' name. Oh, yes.
We are no longer slaves,
yes,
to God. To the
Let's thank him that fear is gone. Thank God for deliverance from fear.
Give him praise and glory for fear gone. Fear is broken.
Give him praise. Give him thanks. Thank you, Jesus. Fear is gone.
Thank you for setting us free. Thank you for setting us free.
I want to give the opportunity to anyone who doesn't know Jesus to say, Jesus, I want you. If you are watching, you're here, and you want, or you're here, you want to say, Pastor, pray with me. I give up trying by myself. The Bible says in Isaiah 53:6 that all we as sheep have gone astray. Each person has gone their own way. And the Lord hath laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. Father God, we pray for help. If you've realized that you've gone your own way, and you want to say, Jesus, I want you to come into my heart. I want to make you the Lord of my life. I want to be born again. If you want to say, Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. I want you to repeat after me. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
I come to you.
In the name of Jesus
Christ.
I confess.
That Jesus Christ is Lord.
I believe
that he died on the cross.
For my sins.
I believe that God raised him from the dead.
Lord Jesus.
Come into my heart. Come into my life.
Forgive me for all my sins.
Cleanse me. From all unrighteousness.
From today.
I belong to Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
For saving me.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Praise God. So today,